Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back in Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we start this second hour on this Thursday afternoon. We've got to talk the NBA, and joining us now from SpotTrack and the Front Office Show, it's Keith Smith.
Time to talk NBA with Keith Smith from SpotRack and the Front Office Show. And on Twitter X at Keith Smith NBA. Here's Keith Smith talking basketball with Bryant and Brett.
Keith Smith joins us now to talk the NBA from SpotTrack and the Front Office Show. A lot to discuss as we start to wrap up the regular season. But the big news today, Joel Embiid to undergo surgery this afternoon for appendicitis. His 76ers team, they're right there in that play-in mix right now, the 8 seed. This is not good news as the play-in right around the corner. What do you make of this news, and what does this mean for the 76ers in the play-in?
Yeah, my first thoughts are with Joel Embiid. I mean, this just stinks. Mm-hmm. You know, this guy has worked hard this year to come back from injuries, and now this happens. And this is just, you know, one of those things that happens. It's, you know, a lot of people get appendicitis in life, and, you know, that so be it. But for him, this is just brutal, because now we're in this position where that's it, right? His regular season is clearly over. They've only got a couple games left here anyway, so that's one thing. But if they're in the play-in tournament, that starts next Tuesday. So, like, you're, you know, and especially if they're in that, 9-10 game, one bad game, and that could be the whole season is over for the Sixers. So that's just, you know, a rough, rough way for this to go down for them. And you know, we'll see, right? You know, that's, the bummer for Philadelphia is just this season has been, much like last season, more success this year, of course, but, you know, just completely ruined by injuries and now this case of appendicitis.
Something always seems to get him and them, Embiid and the 76ers. They do have the bad luck, Keith.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, like I said, for Embiid, you feel horrible for him, right? Like, this is a guy who's done nothing but try to work hard, you know, this year to get back on the court. And, you know, it just all has, you know, kind of now gone a little sideways here. Now, if we want to be positive, you know, he could be back within a week or two. And if they can, they don't have the toughest schedule in the world to close. So if they can get a couple wins and maybe get themselves, what they really want to do is you want to get up to 6, right? Because then that's going to give you all of next week off until the weekend. You basically get another week for him to rest and recover, and maybe he can return at some point in the first round. But it's going to be a tough go for them to get through the play-in tournament without him if that's where they are.
Who do you think will get that six in the sixth spot in the East?
Yeah, you know, I really don't know. It's, I mean, we're between 5 and 10. Not every team can finish in every spot, but it is still completely jam-packed. The Hawks couldn't get a win over the Cavs last night. They were like milliseconds, fingertips, fingernail from C.J. McCollum hitting an improbable half-court shot to send the game to overtime against the Knicks, and they're still now fighting with Toronto and Orlando, and you've got Charlotte in that mix along with Philly, and the only one we know that's going to be in the play-in for sure is Miami. The other teams, good luck figuring it out. I mean, we'll have a little bit better of idea after tonight. We'll have an even better idea after Friday, but then on Sunday when everybody plays, I think it's coming all the way down to that.
We're talking about this injury with Joel Embiid. He was a player that, you know, after the whole Giannis thing happened, he also came out and said that there were some things going on and he wanted to play for the 76ers, and, you know, they were maybe trying to hold him out. But the Giannis situation has been the big one, as he says that he wants to play, can play, is healthy, but Milwaukee is keeping him out. It kind of was the biggest headline over the weekend. What do you make of the situation with Giannis Antetokounmpo and, of course, now the big question about Doc Rivers and his future in Milwaukee?
Yeah, the last one seems to be the easiest one. I think Doc's answer when asked directly if he expects to be back, when he said yo, I've got 8 grandkids now, and I want to spend some time with them. I'll let you figure it out. That basically says he knows he's done. And I think they're going to probably put him in some kind of advisory role or something, and that'll be it for him, you know, coaching the Bucks. So I think that's where that one is headed, and I think it's going to be very much a mutual-type decision. As for Giannis, you know, we're still now playing this game where it's like, do you want out or not? Like, do you just not want to be the bad guy? Like, what are we doing? Where are we at? And it's, you know, this whole I want to play, I'm healthy stuff. Well, then why did you refuse to play when they wanted you to play 3-on-3 to see what you looked like? Like, I get it. I think he wants to have an experience in Milwaukee with his two brothers where they all play together. And I can completely respect and understand that. But from the Bucks side, you've already missed time. Multiple times now with injuries, and now you've got this knee thing on top. And for the Bucks, they're trying to protect themselves as well, because the last thing they need is Giannis going out there, makes an injury worse or suffers an injury because he's trying to protect something else. And now all of a sudden it doesn't matter if you want traded or not. Like, finding the trade is going to be harder because you're dealing with an injury. And it just, you know, it's unfortunate this is where we're at, but, you know, this is where we're at with him and the Bucks.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before with kind of everything that's happened over the last year or so with Giannis, but it really feels like Giannis really wants to be the likable fan favorite guy that kind of never says he has an issue with the Bucks and then just kind of tries to plant the blame on the Bucks as an organization. But you mentioned the kind of opening. What do you think that will mean for Giannis's future? And I've started to see some reports of maybe Taylor Jenkins' name being associated to that opening. Where do you think he would stand once that job comes open, and kind of how he and maybe a future path to a better relationship with Giannis?
Yeah, the interesting thing with Taylor Jenkins, he was very highly thought of when he was with the Bucks. Previously, as an assistant, by all accounts, had a good relationship, not just with Giannis, but with a lot of players on the roster. And I think what you can look at, if you're the Bucks, you can look at it one of two ways. Is, all right, if we're going to be this kind of, we're going to keep Giannis, we're going to go for it. Well, Taylor Jenkins has experience with the Grizzlies on those kind of teams. Or if it's going to be, all right, we're going to reset, we're going to try to rebuild around some youth and that. Well, he's got that experience too. I think, you know, you're kind of covered either way on that. I certainly would not be really taking a lot of Giannis's preferences into play if I were the Bucks on who I'm going to hire, unless Giannis says, you know, I'm here, you give me that extension offer, I will sign it, and off we go. And that needs to be where this needs to start. And if that's not going to be the answer, if the answer is even, well, let's see, because he's not even eligible to sign an extension until October 1st, you need to take care of, you know, what's best for the franchise at that point, and, you know, try to figure it out. But, yeah, I mean, I will say, I'm on the record saying, I don't want Giannis to leave Milwaukee unless, you know, everything's gone sideways and that's what he wants to do. I would love to see him finish his career with the Bucks. We very rarely see guys go wire to wire with one franchise. But if he's, you know, going to say that, then he has to understand you're going to be a middle-of-the-pack team that, you know, maybe he can get in the playoffs, but probably not. And, you know, that's probably going to be how it plays out for the next several years, at least the remaining best years of his career, because it's going to take them a while to dig out from underneath some of the moves they made trying to put a winner together around him.
You talk about kind of that Bucks organization, where they're at right now. They're kind of part of that, you know, tanking group of teams. They're not, you know, as far towards the bottom as a lot of these other teams. But that is the big talking point around the NBA right now. The commissioner continues to come out and talk about ways to get rid of tanking. I believe there's going to be a vote in May for what they're going to do kind of starting next year with tanking. But can you explain to me what happened the other night? Because I did not watch the game. But the situation with the Kings and Golden State with the intentional foul, because I'll tell you this, Keith, my guilty pleasure over the last, 2 months has been watching the Sacramento Kings team play basketball. I mean, they are fun to watch. They've got some interesting names on their team. I really like Doug Christie. And nothing I've seen, I mean, I know they're tanking, I know they're not a great team, but nothing to me has seen, or that I've seen, shows that the Kings are outwardly going out here and doing things that are, you know, finable offenses in tanking. What happened in that game against Golden State?
Yeah, so first let me say this. We talked about it, right? The East is so tight. We've got all the races for spots in the top 6, spots in the, you know, where we're going to be in the play-in. The West seeding is still very much up for grabs behind, basically everything between the, Thunder and Spurs and the Timberwolves is up for grabs, and then the playing spot. And yet everybody's still like, the league stinks and it's all terrible and everybody's trying to be bad,
That's
you know,
crazy.
And I get it, right? There is some absolutely egregious tanking. So I just wish, I get it. I get where it is. Now with the Kings. So unfortunately, right, people see, and all they saw was the headline of Kings commit intentional foul while they were holding the lead to put the Warriors in front. Mm-hmm. And everybody ran with that. Mm-hmm. The foul that they committed happened with, I believe it was 3 minutes and 14 seconds left in the fourth quarter. So there were still 3 minutes left. The Kings were up one. Why they did it was Doug Christie was trying to get to a place to use his use-it-or-lose-it timeout at the under three-minute mark. If anybody doesn't know, you have more than three or more timeouts left. When you get to 3 minutes, two of those get removed, and everybody finishes with two timeouts in the final 3 minutes of the game. That was a change of pace several years ago to try to get the end of the games moving quicker. So Doug Christie told his guys, commit a foul. They chose to foul Steph Curry. Not the smartest move in the world. He's a very good free throw shooter. He made the shot, put his team in front. But then they were able to call a timeout. After the timeout, the Kings came out, drew up a great play, and Doug McDermott hit a three-pointer, and they ended up winning taking the lead back, rather. Then later in the game, I believe it was Dylan Cardwell, had an over-the-back foul against Seth Curry when they were in the bonus, and that put Seth Curry at the line and gave them a couple points, which helped the Mavericks to a win. Neither of those plays were blatant tanking. Mm-hmm. When the NBA did their investigation, they came out today. Basically, what they said is, you made bonehead decisions, but they weren't, blatant tanking. And, that's an example of, the Kings being the Kangs and Kangs and all over a game and, doing what they have done for the better part of a couple decades.
Keith, what about this idea? I need your help with it. You probably could modify it and make it a better presentation to the league. Let's tie something to the Emirates Cup, to the play-in tournament, way back in the fall at the start of the year, or maybe even move that to this time of year. And if you win that, you're at worst in the play-in. You're at worst the 10. Now, if you played better than that, you've earned the 2. You're in. But that gets you in, and for teams like Memphis, you still have something to play for.
Yeah, those ideas have been thrown out there. I think the challenge is you still also need to have the motivation for the player side, because if you're the players, you're like, all right, we're a 10th, and we're just going to get beat. We have to play one more game at the end of the season, and where we are. Like, let's say if it was the Indiana Pacers. Get there, and if you're 10th, it's like, all right, what do we really want to be 10th for? I don't dislike that idea. I don't want to move the cup to the end of the season, because I want the end of the season playoff races to still be what they are here. And, my big thing with a lot of this stuff around the tanking is I do think it's such a big thing this year, because you had, with the Wizards and the Jazz, you had the pick protections causing them to want to keep their picks. And then you had, the teams looking at it and saying, this draft class goes all the way through 10. It is loaded with, really, really good players. You've got outstanding players in the top three. Then you've got really good players in the next, let's say 4 to about 7 or 8. Then you got a couple more guys that everybody really kind of likes after that, and some will say, it's all the way through 12 or so. So I think that's where the idea of, all right, we want to be in position. I think it is kind of unique to this draft class with some of the other things that we had going on, where it is, all right, and then you had a team like Indiana, no intention of tanking, but it was, all right, Haliburton's out. Then they had some other injuries. Everything kind of went sideways. They're like, all right, forget it. This is the best chance we're going to have probably for the next, half decade or more while we have Haliburton add a really good player to our team. So let's just try to go about doing it. So, yeah, I don't think any of the proposals that were thrown out there recently that the league gave are going to be the ones they go with exactly, because I know enough teams are like, I don't like this, I don't like that. they're going to have to work through some of those. So we'll see how that all comes together.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you about this. I had an argument with some buddies earlier today about the tanking issue, and they were I don't know, they were arguing in circles about things I didn't even understand. But do you think there is a way to implement something? Like, is there something that can be implemented to avoid some of this tanking? Because like you said, I haven't seen a proposal that feels like would ultimately fix tanking and make a lot of sense. Is there something that you can think of that would kind of be able to seamlessly be implemented while also maybe fixing an issue if there is one there?
Well, if I had that idea, I wouldn't be telling you. I'd be selling it to the NBA. For a lot of money. But no, yeah, I don't have a great, you know, solve for it. I'm also not as bothered by it as, right, you know, many other people are. I get there have been some absolute extremes this year. But again, I think that is, you know, kind of that's where we are right now. I don't think that's necessarily going to be a thing forever. So that's part of it. But yeah, I think, you know, when I really kind of get into this and look at it, there are things you can do. I think eliminating pick protection or severely limiting them would really, you know, help. You wouldn't have things like the Wizards trying to make sure they don't finish any worse than, you know, third worst record, because or any better than third worst record, because they don't want to have it. Even if teams jump them, they don't want to drop their pick, you know, back to the Knicks. The Jazz in the same boat. I think they were very clear of like, hey, we want to make sure we, you know, give ourselves the best opportunity to keep this pick. So I think that would help a little bit. And then, you know, it's tough because the fines and all that, those only go so far. I mean, these are billionaire ownership groups. And if you're telling them, like, hey, we're going to fine you $100,000, they're like, cool, I'll pay that. I would pay that anyway. Got better lottery odds. I'm not worried about it. The other thing I will say, too, is you ask any one of these fans from these teams that are tanking, and they're going to tell you, no, I love it. Mm-hmm. I want to have the highest pick we could possibly have. Now, does that mean they're buying tickets and going to games? No, that's where it gets messy, right? If teams start losing revenue, but then teams will kind of fleece that themselves. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just, you know, kind of, you know, be careful here. I don't want the league to do so much that all of a sudden it is like, whoa, you created these, you know, five unintended consequences. Because the one thing I do trust in and know is, NBA teams are really smart, and they hire really smart people, and they'll find a way to make things most advantageous to themselves one way or another.
It has been hard to go and watch, though, Keith. It has been. Who's your rookie of the year?
You know, it's tough. I'm still kind of leaning Cooper Flagg, but if it's Con Knipple, I am not going to be upset with that at all. I think Flagg has had the better all-around season. I think the things that he's been asked to do on a team where he has, you know, a lot of the years had very little help, have been really good, and he's clearly the far better defensive player. But Con Knipple's contributed mightily to a team that is winning games, may end up being a playoff team, and he's had one of the best shooting seasons, the best shooting season we've ever seen from a rookie. So I would go Flagg, but I think it's going to be really close, and I'm really kind of splitting hairs on that one.
Yeah, I think either decision would be really, really good. The last thing I want to say about this tanking, I'm curious your thoughts on it, because it almost feels like the issue is maybe not, and kind of taking what you've said, maybe is not the tanking itself, but the perception of it around the league, and having this argument I was having earlier. I asked him, I was like, why do you get so worked up about all of the tanking? And he said, because I want to watch meaningful basketball. I said, well, then go watch meaningful basketball. Every single night, there's a meaningful NBA game, most nights on national television. Do you feel like the tanking and all the talk this season around tanking has kind of overshadowed the actual good, entertaining, meaningful basketball that's being played every night?
Yeah, it certainly has, especially here in the last month or so. Overshadowed it, and I get it. We had, what was it, last Friday, I think it was, every game was a massive blowout. We kind of knew it going in. The spreads were already high, and then they ended up beating those spreads anyway. So that is, you know, to me, I get that part of it, but then that misses, like, how great that Nuggets-Spurs game was last weekend. Yeah. Hawks-Knicks the other night was a fantastic game. Celtics-Hornets was a really good game. You know, the other night as well on national TV. So I, and when, you know, it is funny when I see someone like here in Orlando screaming about, oh, God, you know, these teams tanking and blah, blah, blah. I have to ask, like, are you tuning into a bunch of Utah Jazz games anyway? Because if you're not, like, you know, then why does it bother you so much? And the real answer, you know, I think to a lot of this comes down to is the gambling companies are angry because they want to be able to set lines that work. The NBA is now partners with, you know, some of these gambling companies, and they're like, hey, if we don't know who's playing or playing to win, it makes it harder for us to do our jobs, and that's, you know, I think where a lot of this is coming from.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think you're probably right about that. But some fun games coming up. Fun one tonight, Boston Celtics and the Knicks on Prime Video as we start to wrap up this regular season. Keith, enjoy these next couple days of the regular season. Next week we'll be talking play-in and playoffs with you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're down to it now. I cannot believe how fast the season has gone by, but we're basically there. But thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Keith.
Thank you so much. Keith Smith with us every week from SpotTrack and the Front Office Show. And Brian, my idea about incentivizing the play-in tournament, the November-December tournament, you think much of that idea?
Yeah, I mean,
automatic seed. maybe not 10. What about automatically you're 7? Or does that cheapen it?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I would probably only stick with kind of that last play-in spot. I kind of like that better just because it's, you know, it's one of those where I think it's enough to intrigue some teams. It might not be, you know, you never know. But it's not kind of way up there where that team that's in 7th, that's done a lot of work to try to stay in that 7, feels like, hey, we got kind of the short end of the stick here. But, I mean, you know, I like that a lot more than I like some of these other ideas out there that the NBA is throwing around. I mean, you know,
you prefer play-in where they have it, or would you want it in other months?
I mean, the thing is I don't know if I would want to lock in a postseason seed, even if it is a play-in seed, with a tournament that's so early in the season because just so much happens after that. But I'm also like Keith, like if you are going to move it, I think you need to, you know, maybe you make Christmas, like where we have the you know, quadruple header on ESPN. Maybe that's the start of the you know, cup, and
that's
that
kind of
gets everybody excited in the cup, and then you do it there where you're wrapping it up in, you know, February, and, you know, then you have a better idea of where teams are, and then it's, you know, maybe have the championship game of the cup. We're talking too many different brackets and things. You maybe have the championship of the cup, you know, right before the trade deadline. So then, you know, that team that wins that, hey, we know we've got that spot. Maybe we don't want to unload at the trade deadline, and we want to, you know, see this through and get to the end of the season, but those other teams can still go and make trades at the deadline. I don't hate that.
High hard one. You ready?
All right.
The more prestigious banner, the NBA team. I could already do it with a straight face. The NBA teams hanging the play-in banner, our banners.
I hold our banners with a lot more respect,
much more sacrosanct.
Yes,
no doubt.
Much more important than those play-in or cup banners for that matter. I don't know.
Does anybody
know.
Get a banner for leading after the first day of the Masters? Do we hang
so.
Any banner for that?
I don't think so.
That'd be John Goin, 2 under with Scotty Scheffler.
Well, good for him. Good for him. We'll see if that continues into the
only
weekend.
One of our picks under par.
Wow. Hey, I'm telling you, it's been very shaky for a lot of you. You're either doing really good or you're not doing so great.
I'm in mid-season form. I finished 10 over with my two guys. 10 plus 10.
Well, Brett, again, I mean – you know, you're kind of in a spot where you might not have 3 more days, but you at least have another day to make up some ground. So we'll see what you can do there.
Maybe one day. Keith Smith was with us. He's always with us on our Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. Sissy's Log Cabin, the official jeweler of the hometown teams like the Tigers and the Grizzlies, in that great location at Poplar and Perkins in Laurelwood at 4542 Poplar. Bill Jones and his team, part of the fabric of our community. Big supporters of all the hometown teams. The Mid-South's largest selection of one-of-a-kind jewelry, engagement rings, necklaces, earrings, wedding bands. 9,000-square-foot store in Laurelwood with expanded lines for Rolex, Cartier, diamonds, and more. You just go into that lounge area. The golf's on right now. Often you can have a drink of your choice and enjoy golf and enjoy things right there at Sissy's Log Cabin since 1970 with all the great locations across the Mid-South. Sissy's, they offer a selection of diamonds, estate jewelry, and fine gifts. Official jeweler for the Memphis Grizzlies, and at FedEx Forum with the Floor Seat Lounge. Unsurpassed value, exceptional service, expansive selection, and a truly extraordinary shopping experience, because life's too short for ordinary jewelry.
Well, let's get to another break. When we return, we'll continue the NBA conversation. We'll talk the NBA. We'll also talk the Grizzlies. It was a loss last night on the road against the Nuggets. We'll discuss it all next on Sports Time.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus. And she says, I wish
that I could be like the cool. Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we got to talk some NBA, talk a little Grizzlies as they were in action last night on the road against the Denver Nuggets. It was a 136-119 win for the Nuggets, but for the first half of that game, the Grizzlies had the lead, looked in control, and then the second half, the Nuggets turned it up and ended up coming from behind and winning that game. We talked about the line yesterday. It was at like 23.5 in favor of the Nuggets, and so I'm sure a lot of bettors, if they had the Nuggets, and the Nuggets didn't end up covering with that score, 136-119, they were probably very, very worried at halftime and very terrified of why in the world they made them. Maybe some, who knows, maybe there was a Grizzly money line bettor out there that was feeling real good at the half. So first half, that was really nice, and then second half, it was the Nuggets that took control, and Grizzlies lose, Nuggets win. That's what everybody wanted to happen.
But Denver had to go all out. The margin ended up being more comfortable than the actual how the game was actually competed. Jokic had to play 31 minutes, played 36 here in a loss.
Yeah, you mentioned it. You know, this isn't, you know, the last two times they've played the Nuggets, it hasn't been just the nobodies and, you know, rest night for all the stars. You know, Jokic out there 31 minutes, Jamal Murray 35, Cam Johnson 30, you know, Aaron Gordon, as he, you know, is ramping back up, 22 minutes.
They got all next week off, but
yeah,
still.
But, you know, they had to throw their guys out there to go out there and get this victory over the Grizzlies. So they fought hard. I mean, one thing you can't say about this this team is that they don't fight. I mean, they're out there and they're fighting every night. And you talked about a couple of those games they won that you maybe shouldn't have won. You know, I guess that's what happens when you play hard. You just kind of fall into wins here and there. But Cedric Coward, 27 points last night, 10 for 17 from the field, 3 for 7 from 3, added 6 rebounds. He led the team in scoring. You had a handful of other guys with 15 or more points. So the scoring, it was going around last night.
Denver had to have it. The two previous games for the Nuggets before last night were both overtime wins, so they've had to go to the mat to get where they are, and they're at 52 wins, two games left, but they're not going to be easy. Home against Oklahoma City tomorrow night, and then Sunday afternoon when the whole league is wrapping up the season with game 82 for everyone. I know there's a couple in there with 83 from the play-in, but most everybody just with 82. They have to go to San Antonio. What's going to be San Antonio's motivation? They're not going to be the one. They're not going to fall to three. Denver needs that three.
Yeah, and you know, we just saw them beat that San Antonio team last Saturday, and so you know they've already beat them once, and who knows who's out there for San Antonio in that last game. But yeah, it's tough when you're Denver and you need to have wins to, you know, improve where you're at, and the final two games of the season against the by far two best teams in the Western Conference. And I'll be curious to see what this Denver team looks like once they get into the playoffs, when we're playing seven game series. You know, they have the longest win streak in the association right now, but a couple of these games have been maybe a little closer than they want them to be and what many thought, but then they go out there and they beat a San Antonio team in overtime. We'll see what, you know, they look like Friday against Oklahoma City, but, you know, they've played some really tough competitive games, have beaten some really good teams, so, you know, they're a team that I really don't know what to expect when the playoffs start.
Can the Grizzlies lose these last two? They need to at Utah tomorrow night, 8:30 tomorrow night. But Utah winning it doesn't do anything because they're pretty locked in for their odds. And then Sunday, what's the motivation of the Rockets? Are they still in contention for either the 4 or 5 or maybe even the 3 seed?
Yeah, it's the question that everyone has, especially with that next game against the Jazz. You know, like you said, it looks like the Jazz are pretty stuck where they're at. You know, you've got Sacramento right there with a similar record. But they've shown that I don't even know if they're still looking at the kind of tankathon and where they're at in terms of numbers. I think they just say, we're going to go out there and do everything we possibly can to lose every single game we're going to play. And they're really, really good at it. Losers of 10 in a row. So that might be the game that you just can't lose. I mean, that might be an unlosable game for the Grizzlies.
I'd have to look at the schedule, but I it was sometimes late January at minimum early February. And I said to Jonah Dillon one night at a Grizzlies Utah game, I said, they've got it down. Mm-hmm. They know what they're doing.
Yeah. They know exactly what they've doing. They've won, 1, 2, 3 games since early February, 6 games since the start of February. So they have the losing down, and then they only won 3 games in January. So that's 9 games since the start of the new year that they've won. They know exactly what they're doing. Obviously, you know, magically all of their stars have had surgery and different things that are getting taken care of. So they just don't have a lot of bodies to put out there. And those bodies that they do put out there find ways to lose games. So that one's going to be a tough one, I think, for the Grizzlies to lose tomorrow night. But you know, we'll see. It's going to be the kind of tank off game, and you know, who really wants it more?
For next year, do you want to see more of Walter Clayton?
I'm not as in on him, and I was not in on him when he was traded to the Grizzlies than a lot of people were. You know, I'm expecting him to be on the team. I just don't really know how much I really want to see him in terms of like being a part of the kind of core moving forward.
What about for Jemaah Meshack?
Yeah, kind of similar. You know, obviously one of those two-way guys. I don't know what type of two-way he signed in the offseason, if that's a guy that will be back on that two-way next year, if it was just a one-year deal for him. But, you know, if he's got another year, you know, sure, that'd be fine to have him back. You know, we talked about it. I don't think, you know, the Grizzlies aren't a team that's magically going to jump into the you know, play-ins or the protected seeds next year. It's going to be another year where they struggle. And so,
process.
You know, you've got to have bodies out there. And so, you know, I think we're going to see certainly not everybody on this roster, but you're going to see some of those guys in similar roles next year.
I don't think, well, I sure hope not, we're sitting here next year talking about full tank and 25 wins. Mm-hmm. But it could be partial tank and around 30 wins.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of where they're at. It's a lot of young pieces and a lot of young pieces that just haven't really played meaningful games together. And so those guys have to grow. And, yeah, I mean, next year, certainly, and we've talked about it a lot, will not be the all-out, don't win a single game, tank for your life around the league that this year has been. And so I don't expect them to be in there. You know, I expect them to not be a great team. But I think next year you want to start seeing some sort of tangible improvements, sign of life, sign that these guys are growing together and playing better basketball from the start of the season to the end of the season, even if it's not resulting in necessarily wins, but just seeing this group kind of start to take shape of what this new era should be.
Rarely a bad night of sports in New York City, but tonight a really good one. In Queens, you got the Mets and the Diamondbacks. But at Madison Square Garden, at the Garden, you've got Celtics and Knicks in one that really matters.
Yeah, it
matters for the Knicks, not at all for playoff seeding, but just confidence and do we really matter? Are we legit?
Yeah. No, it's going to be a great one tonight. It's a Prime Video game, so I guess that's technically a national game, even though it's streaming. But, you know, we talked about it with Keith, and I fully believe the NBA has more of a perception issue than they do a tanking or any other issue that that you want to talk about with the league. Because, again, like I was having this conversation with a buddy of mine earlier today, and he's yelling at me that tanking's terrible and the league is awful and all of this stuff. And I was like, well,
I loved your comeback, though.
I mean, just watch
the games.
Exactly. Watch the games. And when I said that to him, he was...
Now, this isn't the buddy that wanted to leave games.
No. This is a guy, he lives across the state. But his response to that was, and I don't even know what he was talking about. He's like, I don't want to see these guys have great stat lines on bad. I was like, what are you talking about? He made no sense. But the problem is, and the kind of bigger picture of that is, I think there are a lot of sports fans and NBA fans and different people that look at the NBA and see the big headlines of tanking, and they don't see the game that you just pointed out. That's going to be an awesome game and means a lot. That game happens with different teams every single night, and it's happened every single night this week. They're still good games. The NBA is still putting out a really good product with those teams that are going to be in the playoffs. We've said it every day this week. I think next week when we get to play in, the week after when we really get into the playoffs, that's going to be awesome basketball every single night in this league.
And, Brian, we talked about down the stretch of the NFL year, there was very little intrigue from about week or for teams that had played about 14 or 15 games. Okay, maybe a couple of seed spots, but the in or out, there wasn't any. Nothing like it used to be, and with more in the playoffs. And I remarked, NFL gets no criticism for it, none.
Yeah.
They send out that press release of, you know, there are still 28 out of 32 teams with a playoff possibility, some of them as far-fetched as the NASA mission. But we buy right into
it. It's the shield.
In the NBA, in baseball, doesn't get it either. Never gets that break from the people.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think you're absolutely right about that. And so, you know, I do hate seeing it. You know, and look, I understand it's not fun. You know, seeing a lot of these teams and you know what the year has been, but there is still good basketball, and that's going to be a really fun one tonight between the Celtics and the Knicks. Right now, the Knicks actually a 5.5 point favorite at home. The total at 212.5. You asked the question to Keith, and I want to turn the question back to you before we get to a break. Who is your rookie of the year?
I think it's Flag.
Yeah.
I think Sunday night did it.
Yeah, I mean, I would say Flag as
but
well.
But I'm not going to be mad over it.
No, certainly not. Both have been incredible this year.
No, I will count it as a preseason correct pick, though.
Of course. I mean, you have to. You have to. That's how it works. But no, I think what Cooper Flag has done you know, pretty much all
with
season.
With my Nuggets Knicks NBA championship.
Well, yeah, hey, you know, unlikely, but you know, you never know, Brett. Both in there. Neither of those teams in the tank conversations. That's good. But no, Cooper Flagg has been certainly recently on an absolute tear, and I think that he is going to ultimately be that rookie of the year.
Whoa, are you seeing this about Estrella transferring from Tennessee to Michigan?
Wow. Interesting. So
that's a double yo there.
Yeah, that is big. I know he had entered the portal, kind of the announcement maybe right before that he was going to enter before the portal opened, but I did not know Michigan
Dusty
was ultimately going to land him. Yeah, Dusty
enjoy
May.
Your title. Don't be raiding Barnes' roster.
And he's been involved in some other big-time names to add to that roster, which makes a lot of sense. You look at what he brought in last year and what they were able to do, it makes a lot of sense that big-time players would want to go and play for him.
Michigan number one, just like Landers Ford in Collierville, the number one Ford dealership in the Mid-South. Landers Ford, your trusted destination for a vehicle that fits any lifestyle and every price point. Seamless shopping experience from vehicle choice to financing and service, from the Ford Escape to the rugged F-150 to the adventurous Bronco. Every vehicle built with those Ford tough standards. Ford F-150, America's best-selling truck. SUVs like the Ford Escape, the Ford Bronco, the Ford Expedition, Ford Explorer, EVs, hybrids, everything for the future. Transparency and professionalism and long-term support, that's what you get at Landers Ford. No fine print. It's in big, bold pastels. What you see is what you get at Landers Ford. Oil changes, tires rotated. Go online and schedule when anything service-related, when it suits you the best. That's when it'll be done. It'll be done quickly to meet your very busy schedule. They know that at Landers Ford, and they are active in our community in Collierville at 2082 West Poplar Avenue, or online at LandersFordMemphis.com. If it doesn't say Landers, You paid too much.
Well, we need to get to another break. When we return, it'll be time for Big Number of the Day.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
96 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Landers Ford in Collierville. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Brian Dacus.
Big Daddy.
Hello, Big Brand.
It's a guy, he wants to be big, then he gets big, he doesn't want to be big anymore, then he gets small, but the suit's too big.
Big Daddy.
The big boy.
You're a big guy.
I think she's trying to pull a fast one on Big Daddy.
The big number of the day.
Well, Brett, my big number today is the number 5. In yesterday's St. Louis Cardinals game, Jordan Walker hit his 5th home run of the young season. He hit 5 home runs in 12 games this year, only 44 at-bats. The number 5 is the big number because 5 ties his total for 2 years ago in 2024 and is only one shy of the amount of home runs he hit last season. 2 years ago, it was only 51 games in the majors. Last season, though, it was 111 games, 363 at-bats. In this young career, this is only his 4th season at the major league level. His season high for home runs, it's only 16, and that was in 116 games, 420 at-bats in the 2023 season. So, safe to say, at least what he's showing right now, he will clear that 16 mark that he set in 2023. It's been a great start to the season, batting .295, has added 12 RBI as well. A great start to the year for Jordan Walker.
So your big number was 5, right?
5, that's right.
I'm not saying a sports time first, but a first in a long time, we have the very same number.
How about that?
But not the same nugget.
Okay, all right.
But same number. Mine's 5. 5 multi-major winners enter the 2026 Masters, still searching for a green jacket. Bryson DeChambeau, he's going to keep searching.
Yeah.
Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, and Brooks Koepka. I don't know that any of those get it this week, but some of them are playing pretty good.
Yeah, some of them are playing well. I don't know if I'd put any cash down on them ultimately being the champion on Sunday.
You got any cash now?
Not a ton. I have a couple bets out there. I don't remember exactly what they are, but I have
any
over
underscore type bets under.
No. I think all of it's kind of like top 20 finishes, top 10, different things like that. So
I didn't mean to call out your friend that wanted to leave early that day for the Boys' State game. I know I've held that against you.
You can call him out.
Time.
He's a moron. You can say whatever you want about him.
Does he listen?
He's at work when we're on. Good. So he's. Good. I can say whatever I want. I say these things to his face. So I mean, it's not like I'm hiding anything. But you can say whatever you want about him. He's
I don't hang around people who want to leave early.
Well, yeah.
You never know what you're going to miss.
That's true. I mean, I try not to, but sometimes, you get stuck in a spot where you got to go with the majority and majority rules.
When you don't have your own vehicle, that's when you get stuck.
That's right. Or, well, in my case, you have your own vehicle. Well, I don't know if I had my own vehicle or not that day, but I was the only one.
I left early in own vehicle, but I was just so outnumbered. Yeah. I think they were going to take over the vehicle.
That is understandable, to say the least. We talked a lot of the Masters today. Still, some guys out there is really, really starting to wrap it up. And still, Sam Burns and Rory McIlroy leading the way at 5 under. It doesn't look like maybe Justin Rose, he still has a handful of holes to play. Scottie Scheffler, those two really feel like the only two that could kind of make that run to the top of the leaderboard before the day's over.
Big chance for Scheffler is not making eagle or birdie on 13. He still has he's in the middle of the fairway on 14 and still with eagle birdie chance on 15, and after that probably not likely, mm-hmm. But they'll know he's on the score, on the leaderboard.
Oh yeah, we've talked about Scotty a lot, especially in these majors. If he kind of likes to lurk the first couple of days, and then Saturday, Sunday, really pounce. But pretty much all of his game today was early. He had the eagle on two, and then the birdie on three, and then it's been all pars. He had the one bogey on 11, so it was real hot early, and then has just been playing good golf. Nothing too crazy one way or the other.
We all wanted to ask this around NCAA basketball tournament time: is Cinderella dead? You could almost ask that around the golf majors. I know JJ Spahn wasn't a household name to everybody, but he was no Cinderella. It was no out of just a bolt of lightning out of nowhere. I'm talking about Cinderella's like Memphian Sean McKeel when he won his PGA. Ben Curtis, Rich Beam, Todd Hamilton, and others. We've had those. Danny Willett at Augusta National. Not lately, though. It has settled in to the familiar names.
Yeah, it really has. And you look up, and we talked about this leaderboard earlier today of a lot of big time names up there. Now you can go down, and there's a couple of kind of outsider names around T11 or kind of in that range. But you look at those top 5, 6, 7 names on the leaderboard, it's the big boys, and that's likely what we're going to see throughout the weekend and on Sunday.
Cinderella would be Michael Brennan.
Yeah, that would certainly be. I would say Michael Brennan.
It would not be Tommy Fleetwood.
No. But Brian Campbell, that would be Cinderella. He's in there. Hao Tong Lee, who I love. Hao Tong Lee. Hao Tong Lee learned English from watching Kevin Hart. Which not a great thing to do always, because Kevin Hart uses a lot of profanity, and so Hao Tong Lee now uses a lot of profanity.
I can't get near the first word Pau Gasol said he learned in English.
I would love to know. That would be an all-fair conversation.
Yes. I don't even want to talk like that around you.
But that is my favorite fun fact about Hao Tong Lee, who is one under through the first day of action. He was in that first group bright and early this morning. I did not wake up to see the first group tee off tomorrow. I think I woke up about 7:30 or so.
Waiting for you to live tweet.
No, I was not doing any sorts of live tweeting. But we'll keep you updated on what's going on over at the Masters. Again, a lot of guys already done, but a handful of guys still wrapping up their Thursday afternoon. But let's go ahead and wrap up this hour, get to a break, and when we return, we're talking all things Tigers. Greg Gaston, he joins us next. We'll be right back.